Welcome back to episode 214 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. Everything you hear on this podcast episode is non-commercial, fair use Creative Commons license. My Linktree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my Linktree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. Got a good episode today, and it's what I'm going to do is I have a few charts that I want to show now. I want to emphasize before we even get into the episode, if you're driving, if you're operating a forklift, if you're doing roofing work, or, you know, anything that demands your complete attention, please either listen to the podcast and just disregard it and you can do video when you get home, or work it out where you're not trying to watch this on your screen while you're doing your work or you're in a dangerous position. So please just, in essence, what it works out to being is almost like an old school PowerPoint presentation, you know? So we're going to get into it. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to get into a topic that I speak about and pretty much dominates most of my topics that I cover. And it has to do with, you know, self-actualization, self-realization. And for those of you who want to look it up, you can look up self-actualization. Carl Jung, he gets into that. A lot of times it's good to get the exact definition of a word that you know you're trying to comprehend, or something that is brought up. You want to have, you know, your etymology, not necessarily your etymology, but, you know, your word definitions done right so you understand. Like, some people, for example, don't understand really what an allegory is. I've had, you know, people reach out to, as I speak to them, say, well, what is an allegory? And if you don't know what it is, it helps a lot if you do. You know, an allegory is a story that has a deep, that's being told, but what contained within that story is a much deeper meaning, and sometimes levels of meanings that are tied into the story that you're seeing on the surface. For example, I did an episode on The Wizard of Oz and the allegory that was. It's kind of like a metaphor, but in a story format, and a metaphor is, we all know what that metaphor is. Anyway, interesting topic. We're going to get into that, as I said, the self-actualization. And then there's layers to it, because what it is, yes, we come into this world self-actualized. That's why when you see sometimes, you know, a kid, you know, under the age of six, you know, the things that they say and what they speak, yes, you know, you can put it off as childish or whatever, but sometimes they say some really profound things, because of the fact that their brain, their mind is not conditioned, and they're pure, they're in a hypnagogic state. You know, they don't have a subconscious mind. They just have their pure conscious mind. No subconscious, just pure conscious mind, and they speak from their conscience. And that's what makes it beautiful. Sometimes they can be offensive, sometimes shocking, beautiful, but you learn from that. So just keep in mind, if you're watching this on YouTube or however you're watching it, I want to emphasize that I'm going to kind of sometimes maybe adjust or use some kind of code speak for certain topics that I get into that I don't want to have my video taken down. So it might sound a little odd maybe when I try to describe something. I don't want to go in real deep the way I usually do on a lot of my episodes. Well, I really even hold back on my regular episodes, but you know, but I kind of speak as freely as I feel is appropriate for a podcast. So this one, again, I'm going to gauge it out, and just the main thing is to be able to have that video not getting taken down on YouTube. And if that's the case, this would be great because this would be an additional element to the show. So we're going to get into it. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at three different charts. The first chart we're going to look at, like as I said, it's going to be like a PowerPoint presentation. So the first chart that we're going to be looking at is going to be a chart that some of you might be familiar with, and it's Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. So that's the first chart. It's a pyramid, and then it kind of goes through the needs that a human really needs and the important things in their life, you know, from beginning to the top to the end. And very interesting, if you've never seen it before, you have to admit that it's pretty accurate, and Maslow really nails it with that chart. The second chart that we're going to take a look at is going to be one that deals with basically the beginning framework of our beginning, you know, and just some basic laws, you know, of reality that dictate really what this is and what we're in and what's going on here. And just a breakdown of that, but initial on the surface. This way, if you've never really considered this or gotten into this, you can kind of see it visually in front of you and kind of cohesively sequentially cover it from beginning through the middle into the end, you know. So this chart is going to kind of give a breakdown of that. The first chart, actually the second chart. First chart is Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Chart number two is going to be a foundation going from like the beginning of existence or creation, however you want to phrase it, on through to now. A thumbnail sketch, you know, that's chart number two. Chart number three, I'm going to get into the tricks and the traps and the spells that are being put upon us, along with solutions and the right path. So there's going to be three charts we're going to get into today, and I'll flash through them, and we're going to get into it. So as we take a look at Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, this chart, there's a little picture of Abraham Maslow there. Smart dude, man. Very smart dude. We are presented this pyramid, this graphic, this infographic that gives a breakdown. And as you look at the bottom, it says, you know, the base of everything, the base of the pyramid, so to speak, which is the widest support. In other words, everyone falls into this category, or this is the most expansive category that's there. And that is physiological needs of a person, right? So that's breathing, food, water, sleep, homeostasis, and excretion, as we all know what that is. Very basic. That's like biology 101. If you don't have that, you don't have life, right? Now, so everyone basically falls into that category, and that's a base that stretches across to everyone. Now, the second level up on Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs is safety, okay? So the topics here are going to be security of body, security of employment, security of resources, of morality, interesting, right? Of family, of health, and of property. So in other words, the security of your body, your employment, your resources, your morality, security of your family, of your health, and your property. In other words, safety, to make sure that you're secure, that where you are today, you're going to be there tomorrow, and you're going to be there 10 years from now. Nothing bad would have changed, and you just proceed through, you know, your normal existence, doing the first level, or the step one, which is the physiological, eating, sleeping, whatever, and then the safety. So now the third one, now it gets really interesting. And then the third level of this pyramid going up is love and belonging. And that has to deal with friendship and family, right? And this actually, if you look at it, if you look on the right-hand side, I didn't realize this, but I see it now. Step two and step three do deal with self-actualization. And what Maslow is putting here, self-actualization, is a person's motivation to reach his or her own full potential, as shown in Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. A person's basic needs must be met before self-actualization can be achieved. And that's put pretty well. That's put pretty well. So, yeah, that's love, belonging. That's why it's interesting, but you know, let's say a person's in solitary confinement or they're in a situation, they're in a desert or something like that, there's a real need to interact with other people. It's just a basic human need where if you don't have that contact with other human beings, it's not healthy really, you know? Yes, I'm big into solitude and, you know, silence and all that stuff too, but that's broken down as a time frame. Like, you know, at this point I'm gonna, you know, be in my solitude or whatever. It could be extended periods, but one has nothing to do with the other. You know, solitude, that's something within yourself, but it's true that people do need to interact with other people. So that's part of that whole self-actualization. So we covered the first three tiers of this pyramid. The fourth one moving up is self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others, and that's self-esteem. And it makes a lot of sense because, you know, we all go to work, we all take our responsibilities and do our things on a day-to-day basis. And for whatever it's worth, I mean, you do want to have, you know, your own self-esteem where you're respected, where, you know, the respect that you work hard for and you get, it gives you confidence in what you do because you're establishing a pattern of being able to deal with your responsibilities. As my mother would say, cumplir con tu deber. So those of you who speak Spanish know what that is. A very old school term, but it just means meet your responsibility. And achievement, you know, something where you're able to reach a goal and, you know, move along your path to what is there for you, as opposed to just endlessly consuming, you know, media and just doing nothing and sitting around, you know, basically like a potato, right? We all have to engage in different. That's why it's so easy. They say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop, right? That's why it's always important to keep your mind occupied and keep it sharp, okay? So the main thing that, from what I see in this real life here, this becomes a really big issue because you'll see people that make decisions based upon, almost like, honestly, like literally like if they're cattle. Like if they're cattle on a farm, ready to go to the slaughterhouse, but in the sense of they're contained within, you know, these boundaries, and it's dictated to them when they eat, when they sleep, when they move, when they get slaughtered. I mean, all of these different things, you know. And what ends up happening is if you're not in touch with really what's going on outside of you, then you're just going to have your life be dictated to you. In other words, you're not your authentic self. That's why I use the term, you know, actualized, authentic. It's like being the person who you really are, as opposed to being a construct of some mechanistic matrix machine that has you here like cattle. You know, you need to kind of understand where I'm going with this. So, yeah, that's the self-esteem, which is the fourth tier up on this pyramid and moving up. Self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respect by others. And that's like esteem or self-esteem. Now, the top, the fifth level of this, which is the top of the pyramid, is labeled self-actualization. It's funny, I didn't realize that it said until I brought this graphic up. But I've been using that word a little bit more lately. I guess I've been listening to a lot of Campbell and Young. But and again, I don't necessarily agree with every little thing that these authors or these people put out there. But I with Young and with Campbell, especially Campbell, man, I agree pretty much 100% with what he says. And Young, very high degree of what he says too. Good, really sound teachings, you know. So this fifth level, this fifth pyramid is called self-actualization. So here it's morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts, or acceptance of reality. Because when you don't accept reality, then you got an issue right there. It's interesting that it says, the top one, it says morality. That's why I believe they come after us so much with this demoralization that we have going on these days. They really know the weak point, where to get people, or the most effective way to get to people, to knock them off of where they want to be, is because when you demoralize a person, they're done for. And I've gotten into this in some of the older episodes, but it's just interesting that the top thing right there is morality, as opposed to, you know, the opposite, which is, you know, demoralization. You know, there's no morality in demoralization. In demoralization, you're at a very low vibration, and you're not even in a position where you're searching for truth or looking for a path, because you're so stunted, you're demoralized. It's like a pen that don't write. You know, it's weird. Like, you know, people have different pet peeves. Like, you'll go to buy something and, you know, you didn't bring your wallet, or you don't have enough cash. That, you know, that gets me a little bit upset. Or you go to take milk and there's nothing, you know, also. But for me, I don't know why it is. What drives me nuts is when I grab a pen and it doesn't write. Like, a little ink comes out and then it scratches the paper. You know the story. And my rationale for that, like, my wife would say, why do you get so mad? But not that I get that mad. But what it is the whole purpose of a pen in life, it's got no purpose, man. Just to write, you know? So if you grabbed a pencil and you went to write, it would just write, you know, until that point wore off. But a pen, it's like, you know, it's a guess. Like, is this thing going to write? But anyway, I went off on a tangent. Interesting the way Maslow breaks everything down. So here on the top board here, on the top of the pyramid, it says Abraham Harold Maslow. April 1908 to June of 1970, was a psychologist who studied positive human qualities and the lives of exemplary people. In 1954, Maslow created the hierarchy of human needs and expressed his theories in his book, Motivation and Personality. And yeah, I like I said, I think there's another chart or another thing that he's known for, Maslow, but I can't think of it right now. But this is definitely, I think, what put him on the chart, literally and figuratively. You know, he put out this chart, and this chart put him on the charts. Again, if you've never seen it before, it puts a lot of different things into perspective. Looking at this chart, he kind of breaks it down really, really effectively here, where his message is conveyed across, and you have a perfect understanding of what he's trying to explain to you. And I see everything on this chart as being true. And it's, again, funny, the top one under self-actualization, the number one there is morality, right? So here we have chart two, or the second chart of this PowerPoint, quote-unquote PowerPoint/YouTube presentation. And we have three photos on top, and, you know, some of the breakdown of, as I said, you know, sequential existence from beginning through present time. So you have three pictures. The first one is authentic man. And then the second one is of DNA. It says God created life from his intelligent DNA mathematical code, not random, you know. And then the third one is the Big Bang hoax, where they expect us to believe that two subatomic particles collided and created everything, including intelligent life, randomly from chaos. You know, kind of try to keep up with that one. You know, like, how does intelligence come from randomness and chaos? It's just impossible. When you look at the DNA code, just YouTube it, man, and get into it. Because they, you know, they try to hold a lot of this information back, but it's all coming out now, where, you know, the epigenetics and such, where and different vibrations and frequencies and the way these things really work and the impact that it has on us, impact or the result of this intelligence creating us, not the impact, but the result of that intelligence, And the mathematical code contained within the DNA and the RNA, the recombinant nucleic acid and the dinucleic acid, right? That double helix. How does that come from a primordial soup? You know, it's interesting because they say in the Big Bang that two subatomic particles collided, and we're talking about something smaller than an atom. And as a result of two subatomic particles colliding, it did some crazy thing, but it compressed down to such a small point that it exploded and created all of existence. Not just galaxies, but the whole universe, everything, right? From two subatomic particles. I mean, you'd have to be retarded to just believe that. And then the second thing, it just dawned on me, it just struck me, that they talk about how life came from the primordial soup, and what happened was two carbon atoms collided and the sun reflected on them at the same instant that a lightning bolt sparked it and life was created. I mean, you got to be retarded. It's funny, I Googled it. What is the probability of DNA, the design of DNA, what is the probability of that coming from chaos or non-intelligence? And it had this big formulation or big response, but at the end it said, basically, there's a zero chance. Google it yourself. Hopefully you get the same answer that I get. But it said there's basically zero chance that life is random. You know, there is definitely intelligence behind it, right? So there you go. So again, the authentic man, that's a picture there of my dad. His name was Santiago. And that's me next to him, Miguel. I'm going to say I'm 64. I just turned 64 in November, born in 1959, but I'm either 3 or 4 years old there, so that's like 1964, probably right around when they got JFK, right around that time for those history buffs. But that is my dad. He died when I was 6 years old, and left me in a real difficult spot because it ended up being me and my brother, my older brother, and my mom was very sickly. You know, she wasn't very healthy, so it was a difficult time. It's something my older sister Carmen, who was not in the house, kind of picked up a lot of slack and helped me along in my life. I have to really thank her for that. And yeah, but that's me and my dad, Santiago, in the kitchen of our house. And I remember that that's 38 Wyckoff Street, Wyckoff, Wyckoff Street in downtown Brooklyn. Yep. And yeah, it's funny, you know, I look at the picture and I realize to myself that what ended up happening in my situation is I ended up having to become my own father. My older brother didn't really guide me at all. He wasn't negative or whatever, but he just didn't provide any of that leadership or mentoring or anything like that. You know, he just did his thing and I did my thing and that was it. But I realized that there was something different with me than other people because, like, you know, it's funny. I saw a guy teaching his son how to ride a bike and I'm looking and I'm saying, wow, you know, that's not how I learned how to ride a bike. The way I learned how to ride a bike, this was literally on Wyckoff Street, right by Court Street and Smith. Right there at the intersection of Court and Smith. There was like 4 or 5 kids. They had this big bike. And what they were doing was, we must have been 5 years old. Like, they were sticking their body inside. It was a man's bike, not a girl's bike, but a man's bike. It had the high bar. And they would stick their body underneath that high bar, like squeeze on the inside of the frame of the bike, and then ride it all the way, because there was a hilly block, so all the way down that hill, and the brakes didn't work, so you had to crash into the wall to stop, because if not, you're going to run right into Smith Street and get hit by a car. So I remember seeing that, and they were like, yo, Miguel, you got to hop on now, you know, hop on, and I hopped on, and I'm like, how do you stop? And they're like, you got to crash into the wall by the supermarket there in the corner, so, you know, so you don't get run over, you know, and the first couple of times I couldn't ride it, I was learning, so they were pushing me and all that, and then I learned. So it's funny, when I saw, you know, this father teaching his son how to ride a bike, I knew that there was something off there, because I said, you know, I'm this kid is getting something that I'm not getting, not that I'm jealous, But it's the reality of the matter. Again, he died when I was 6 years old, so it's funny, but, you know, you say to yourself, you know, and it's funny, that's exactly 6 years old is when it's, when you go from subconscious to conscious mind, or conscious to subconscious mind, when at 6 years old, your consciousness closes up and all that stuff goes into your subconscious, you know, and then the subconscious runs 90% of everything that you do, the program, at least for a lot of people anyway, not for me, but for a lot of people. But I knew that I would be in a position that I was going to have to be my own father, in a sense, like teach myself the things that I need to learn, because I grew up, it was a really tough, it was a tough neighborhood. Actually, that 38 Wyckoff Street between Court Street and Nevins in downtown Brooklyn, it was actually kind of a nice area because it was, you know, 1960s, Irish-Italian, and there was a couple of Spanish people, and we were one of the couple of them, you know? But we all co-inhabited there. It was a beautiful, we're playing Skelsies in the street and Hot Peas and Butter and Geronimo and all, you know, hide and seek and all these crazy things, right? But it's funny, once my pops passed away when I was, and I don't normally talk about these things, but, you know, it's coming out now, so I'll just talk about it. And you can see his picture there, Santiago. But I don't know how to explain it, but ever since a very young age, and I don't want to get over biblical or too much into the Bible or whatever, like my belief system, because everyone has their own, you know. But I have always felt that since my dad passed away, that God had me covered. Like a feeling came over me, and it's hard to explain it, but I would put my head down to pray. And when I would pray, I would feel a presence, the presence of God. And there's no question here, 100% everything that I've been through in my life, that he's pretty much guided me the whole way from beginning to end to the point where I'm sitting right now. And guided me in the sense of the way my father would have guided me if he were here, you know? And in a very legitimate way, you know? And I can't really put it into words. Some of you might be able to relate to that. Some may not. Maybe some of you don't even believe in a supreme being, you know? But that's, again, that's you. Pick whatever you can pick up out of this show and benefits you, fine. And if you pick up that part of it, that's fine too, you know? It's important, you know? Because, you know, otherwise you're... I don't know, not that you're wasting your time, but you're not being an authentic person. You're just being, you know, like a cattle. So back to this chart number two. I got into the DNA, I got into the Big Bang, but laying down some foundation here. And number one is man created in the perfect image of God. And that's the one thing that they want to take us away from, is that we were created in his divine image. They want us to think that we're a byproduct of the huge machine that they run, and the waste and the byproduct that falls out of it is us, because we're the useless consumers. You know, that's how they're trying to place it. But we were created in the perfect image of God and his likeness, right? So that's number one. Number two, in the Garden of Eden, man had to choose between the tree of life, or the tree of eternal life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is duality. And I've gotten into that in a lot of my older episodes. For you people, if you like where I'm coming from or what I'm talking about, go visit my archives, my old episodes. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. And I also have a Linktree and an Instagram, all under the same name, alphamalebuddhist. And I actually even have a Telegram, so check that out. And it's very important for you to truly understand the power of that word choice. In other words, what you're choosing to do. And without realizing, a lot of times you're making choices unconsciously, or without realizing that you are making choices when you choose to not maximize your potential and do the things that you're supposed to do. You know, and you waste your time. And you just sit around and not productive. Yeah, you're going to have some days that you're going to just sit around, and I get them. Especially as I get older, I get more of those days. Well, I don't want to do anything, and I just want to sit around. But, you know, for the most part, I try to stay engaged and stay active with that. So, yeah, that's the key word there is choice, or to choose, have the ability to choose. They had to choose between the tree of eternal life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And there's a lot there. But we're gonna move down this path so that we kind of get some coverage. Again, if you want to hear some of my older episodes, you can, you know. Oh, it's sprinkled throughout from when I first started till now, but I get into some deep topics, you know. So number three is the serpent deceives Adam and Eve, the original trick. Now, what I mean by the original trick is there's two terms that I use a lot, and that is the matrix system and the trick, right? Or the screen, really, there's three. The screen being either the screen on your phone, a television screen, or just what's being presented to you for consumption, you know, the screen, which is something that's outside of yourself. It's not you or yourself, but something outside of yourself that is projecting itself from outside into you, right? And that's really the origin of the trick. It's like control mechanisms that are being put out. And it's very complicated and very simple at the same time, because if you stay authentic, okay, to yourself and have a true understanding of things, then it's harder for you to get fooled. It's like they say, some people are hard to hypnotize. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Look it up. They say that some people, you can't hypnotize them. And then other people are very easy to hypnotize. The trick is what it's all about. It's recognizing the trick is what it's all about. Picture a fish just going down the river, and he sees a worm. And what the trick is it's not really a worm, it's a hook, right? And that translates into our lives today, right? It's the original trick. Something that you have to be aware of. Like, if I have to explain it too much, then you don't quite get it. But it's something that's going to remove you off of your path. Dumb you down. Okay? So that's number three. And it says, man is, which is what I just said, man is removed from his original path or purpose, resulting in him following a low vibration path of the serpent, also known as the deceiver. In other words, there's forces and powers out here. And it definitely has an effect on us, but people are too busy, you know, doing, I don't know, things that, for the most part, are just a waste of time. And then some people choose to follow the serpent. The serpent granted them demonic powers, witchcraft, magic, which utilizes fear to control those seeking to return to God. So as we came out of the garden, we were kicked out of the garden because Eve was beguiled by the serpent. And it's really amorphous. It's hard to define it because people picture it as an apple, but it says, you know, the fruit, you know, of this forbidden tree. So it's crazy. It's craziness, man. But as a result of them being tricked by the serpent, then they were cast out and they were cast away from. God put an angel with a sword protecting the tree of eternal life so they couldn't go back to it. So they were kicked out of the garden, right? So even though that being the case, just because they were kicked out of the garden doesn't mean that that is our stay in life. There are people that are working their way back to the garden in the sense of getting back with the creator, right? And again, the trick that's being played on us is, you know, to keep us from becoming our true authentic selves and also acknowledging the creator. You know, they want you to think everything is just random, like this Big Bang crap. But yeah, those people out there, it's funny, you know, they believe in satanic things and Ouija boards and tarot cards and all the divination and stuff like that. But they believe in that. So they believe in the devil and they say it, but they don't believe in God, which makes absolutely no sense, right? How could you? I don't know. If you have a side A, right, you got a coin, it's got a side A, it's going to have a side B. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever you have, everything exists in duality. So, you know, good luck with that. So it says here, the devil's main goal is A, for you to believe he never existed, and then B, for you to believe that God doesn't exist. Again, separating you from your divine purpose, right? So here it says, the devil cannot create anything. His only purpose is to destroy everything which God created. Again, it's almost like a yin and yang thing because, and I'm not putting God in the category of you know, a symbol or whatever like that, but in the sense of, it all comes down to darkness and light, you know? And again, darkness and light, like positive and negative, you know, dual, right? That's why God put us in the garden with the tree of eternal life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's like dualistic, like one needs the other to exist. So as we move along, the etymology of the word pharmaceutical is the Latin word pharmacopoeia. It's sometimes translated as sorcery or witchcraft. And that is what that is. It could be Latin or Greek. I think it might actually be Greek. But put that together and you'll see what we have going on right now, right? So since the beginning of time, mankind has always sought after ways of controlling the population. The method used to control us is known as the matrix or the screen. Those casting spells on us want us to believe that they don't exist. If you ever question the matrix, you'll be labeled as crazy or a kook. So yeah, the matrix system is telling you that they don't exist either. It's all, you know, self-evident. And you'll get labeled a kook because you're questioning what you see on a Super Bowl halftime or, you know, whatever, right? Something to just, you know, to put out. It's good to put these things out in black and white and just look at them. And then last down here, it says, some people know we are being controlled like cattle. However, they choose to remain enslaved in this matrix system. The character Cypher in the movie The Matrix knew he was in a false reality, but loved his life of slavery. That's the scene where, you know, Cypher in The Matrix, especially The Matrix 1, was so good. He's sitting down to eat a meal, and I forget exactly how it goes off, but Cypher, who was on The Sopranos, I forget, he played a really good character in The Sopranos. But anyway, he's eating a steak, and he's cutting into it, and, you know, taking a sip of wine or whatever, and he says, you know, I know that this steak isn't real, and it's just electronic signals, you know, in my cortex, and this is, you know, what I'm experiencing. He goes, but I'm really enjoying it. Like, even knowing the situation that he was in, I don't want to use the word laziness. I don't know what it is, but I guess in authenticity, you know, he's not being authentic to himself. He's like, you know what? I'm enjoying this illusion that I'm living, right? And I'm enjoying that. So something to think about. Again, it's good to have this chart in front of you, look at it, and go over it, especially for those of you who are newer to studying and knowledge and you know, such. And it's funny when I say knowledge because it says the knowledge of good and evil, right, in the thing. But again, there's other deep explanations for that, but knowledge in and of itself is great. There's a certain type of knowledge that isn't good when you get into the dark occult stuff, but I mean, knowledge for knowledge's sake, for learning, for growth, you know, if you really want to get into it, and I actually have it on my website. I have three books from the Bible there. I have, and it's the King James Version, Alexander Scobie narrating it, reading it. I have in my YouTube, I have the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Psalms. And whether or not, you know, you're Christian or Muslim, it doesn't matter what you are. This is some really good teachings, man. And as you know, a lot of the teachings that were in the Bible, you know, were the story of Noah's Ark and all of these different, Adam and all of these different stories. You know, in another section of the world, like I think in Persia, Adam was known as Adamu. It was Adam, you know. So it was really the same story. So we have to understand that there's a connection between us, not a separation. You know, we're more alike than we are different. And there's no winning and losing, and my people are better than your people, and we were the first to... No. It's a whole cohesive thing of mankind, and we all have the same real origins, you know, and it's important to know that, as opposed to be in a constant state of competition or doubt or arguing or negative energy, you know. So it's good to have this chart to look at it. Again, my original point, like if you're kind of new to this, it kind of gives you a little framework to follow if you're a little bit more advanced. But that's chart number two. Now we're going to go over to chart number three. Now, as I get into chart number three, I reconfigured it and changed it around probably 8 times. Like I just went over it and changed it around and everything like that, because I wanted to put this down in a chart format that would make it easier to comprehend and understand and follow, and have my message conveyed across what I'm trying to get out to you, you know? So I came up with this here, this chart, with authentic man in a self-actualized state in the middle, with me and my dad there sitting in the kitchen in 38 Wyckoff Street. And what I did was I put a box around the authentic man with a path leading out of the box. And that path was to his goal. So this authentic man, put yourself there or whoever, is in the center and is surrounded by all of, and it says, the matrix system traps, tricks, spells used to enslave you, right? And they're all there, and it goes, you know, destruction of the family, corrupt government, demonic music, murder music, demoralization, greed, cultural Marxism, social media addiction, weaponized pharma, you know, the fractional reserve banking. I was going to put student loan on here, but that covers, I put the real keywords on here, vanity, envy, you know, self-doubt, the screen, fear, celebrity worship, you know. And each of these, as you go through these, and I'm sure I left a couple of things off, but I hit all the major points for sure on this. And in essence, what you have here is the authentic man. Again, place yourself there, or whoever you want to place there. You know, I have to put somebody there to make the illustration to make the point. Authentic man comes from a starting point, whether that's when you're born, whether that's you move to a new city, whether it's you wake up in the morning, like whatever you do, because everything that impacts your life or everything that you're going to be in life is what you do when you wake up that morning, right? It's like, there's no way you're going to be a successful person by waking up every morning and just covering yourself up and not getting anything done. You know, it's like everything is as a result of you putting hard work into it. So again, when you're born, when you have that starting point, because there'll never be a point where you're completely where you are. You can work as hard as you want. If you don't work, you can work hard, really hard day number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you're lazy at day 10, you might lose everything. Right? Or a lot of what you gained on the first 9 days, it's a continuous unending. Like David Goggins says, it never stops. He says it never stops. And he starts laughing. Freaking crazy with David Goggins. It never stops. And as you have authentic man here in the center, it says here, authentic man, it says, must find his life purpose, Dharma. For those of you who don't know Dharma, Dharma is your path of life. It's Indian, Vedic. Again, I'm Christian, and you know, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I just want to put that out there. But again, let's continue with this teaching. Man must find his life purpose, Dharma, and face infinite tricks, traps, fear, and spells the matrix will use to enslave him and block him from following his purpose in life. So you have the actualized man there in green, and then you have his path leading out. And it takes him and protects him away from everything that is there to trick him and trap him, right? That green path that takes him, and it says, the goal is to The goal is to discover what your true purpose in life is, then follow that path to become self-actualized and fulfilled. And once he makes it out of that box of tricks and traps and spells, you see what puts him on his authentic path. And that's to learn to work with tools and repair stuff, self-empowerment, as they say, self-made, provide for your family, never complain, just find solutions, help build the people in your community, study the Bible, learn to think like the people around you think. I'm just reading it off. Always expect the unexpected. Expand your knowledge base in meaningful topics. Fall down 10 times, get up 11. I like that one. Never attach to negative energy or people. Kind of self-explanatory. Learn to make use of what is by using that which isn't. Understand the void. That is directly from the Tao Te Ching, chapter 11. I'll riff it off. I just know it by heart. And that is 30 spokes connect at one hub. What is not there makes the wheel useful. Clay is formed into a vase. What is not there makes the vase useful. Windows and doors are cut from a room. What is not there makes the room useful. Learn to make use of what is by using that which isn't. That's like one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life. I never forget when I first heard that. I literally stopped, read it over again like 10 times and sat down, absorbed it. Still didn't fully understand it. I was probably like 16. What it is when you look at a room, if you have no access, then there's no utility to the room. What provides access to the room is the void or that which isn't. Because basically that which isn't is the void, right? So, again, I get into that in some of my older episodes. But yeah, man, if you have a room with no utility, with no access, there's no utility to it, then it's useless. As a matter of fact, it's just taking up space. Or as an old boss of mine would say, drinking water and breathing in, not doing anything. You know what I mean? You have a room sitting there, but what gives that room utility is the void, that which isn't. Well, you can get utility from what's inside of the room. Learn to make use of what is by using that which isn't, you know? And a funny example of that, and it's happened to me so many times, I'll be putting together something out of wood or just building a little something, and I'll cut one piece off, and I'll flip the piece over, and I'll try to put something on the other side, and then I say to myself, okay, whatever. And then I would, for whatever reason, I look at the size and the dimension of what I need and learn to make use of what is by using that which isn't. I would grab the piece that I just cut off, which was garbage, and I pop it right, and I'm able to use it exactly in that way. So, yeah, that's Tao Te Ching chapter 11. We'll continue through. Never allow anyone to walk through your mind with dirty feet. I just heard that and it blew me away. Like, never allow, because it encapsulates everything right there. Allow them to walk through your mind with dirty feet, because they should have no access to who you are. And then this next one goes right along with that. The man that angers you now controls you. You know, very, very simple. You know, if you get me angry to the point where I'm not able to function or whatever like that, now you have control over me because of actions that you took impacted me that hard. Okay. Learn new skills on YouTube. You can learn pretty much anything on YouTube, man. It's really, really good. You know, for the good and for the bad, you know. But you want to try to learn good things, man, and do the right stuff. So YouTube is there for you. Go to the gym and work out. You know, take care of yourself. You know, lift some weights and, you know, have some confidence in yourself and look good. And, yeah, because we are physical beings also, you know, we need to work out and put our body in a position where more is required from it, you know, where we need to push it to its limits. And then the other thing is to study philosophy and ethics, you know. Now, there's all different kind of philosophies out there, but, you know, that's something you're going to find yourself. You know, you can get into the Stoicism with Marcus Aurelius and Epictetus and Plato and Aristotle. And what's the other one that I used to like to read about? What's his name? That would be Diogenes. He was the one that, it's a legend. I doubt this really happened, but supposedly Alexander the Great went to Diogenes and heard about him because he lived in a barrel. I mean, that's how this dude was crazy. And Alexander the Great came to Diogenes and said, you know, was looking at him, and I guess he was going to talk to him. They started talking, and then Diogenes, laying down in his barrel, looked up at Alexander the Great, who had just conquered, like, pretty much all of the known world at age 30, I think it was. He says to Alexander the Great, "Can you please move? You're blocking my sunlight," right? So Alexander the Great looks at Diogenes and shakes his head and, you know, appreciates him, and then walks away and says, "If I were not Alexander the Great, I would want to be Diogenes." Like, that's why philosophy, man, and ethics and everything are so pivotal to the path that you take and the choices that you make in life. Right? Oh, so, yeah, let's continue on the chart. Discover the power of observation. My son is really good with this. My son Michael, he works, you know, he's doing pretty good. He has a good job. He's doing pretty good. God bless him. But he always had the power of observation. Like, he would watch and not say anything and would be able to make evaluations and do things like as a result of when you think he's not paying attention, he's got everything covered. You know, that's one thing, you know, but it's the power of observation. I kind of learned that from him, you know, to a large degree, as opposed to just jumping ahead, observe. The next one down is learn pattern recognition and timing in all matters. Timing and patterns, it's all about that, you know. And then understand that dark forces feed off of your fear. Again, self-explanatory, dark forces feed off your fear. That's why they constantly throw this fear at us with everything that's going on. I'm not saying that the things that are happening are good or that we shouldn't be concerned about them, but they want us to exist in a state of fear. Listen to Dr. Bruce Lipton, The Biology of Belief is the book. I think you could listen to it online. And he gets into like epigenetics and how the mind affects the health and everything, you know. That's why they want to keep us in a state of fear. Never fear evil. Just reflect it back to its source like a mirror. And that's, I got that from an episode of Kung Fu with David Carradine from 1971. And the problem is people, I'll give you an example. I'm Puerto Rican, you know, and in our culture we have what's called Santeria, or as you guys would say, Santeria. And it's a pretty dark stuff, but first of all, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all of that because you're not in that realm. But if you're in that realm and if you're into Santeria, then they can do things to one another because they're on that same frequency. But when you're not on that frequency with them, right, then because if that were the case, they would have done voodoo on all the presidents and all the super rich people, you know. Just like that, because of their jealousy, they would go after them. But it's, you have to be in that game to be affected by it, okay? Into that darkness. And by not attaching to it, it has no power over you. It only has the power over you that you give it. And the channel that you give it goes through the channel of fear, if that makes sense. People have no idea. Two things that are really important, like that word choice and fear. Like those words, man, people don't, it's endless, man. It's infinite. But they give these dark forces access to their inner self through the channel of fear. That's why they try to generate so much fear in us now by the things that they're doing to us. Be aware of that. Okay? Just reflect the evil away like a mirror. It won't penetrate you. It won't touch you. Solitude and silence illuminates your way along the darkest path. You have to learn how to become a friend with solitude and a friend with silence. Something that I've done as a practice always too, sometimes more, sometimes less, is, you know, you wake up in the morning and you just sit in silence and no podcast listening, no music, nothing, just in silence and just self-reflecting, you know, not with a specific idea, but just kind of self-reflecting upon reality and just upon silence and solitude, right? That's a good thing to have, because you're not going to operate at your top capability if you don't find that solitude and that silence within yourself, okay? Because when you get more solitude, then you have the ability to have a deeper understanding of the reality that we're in. So it's important that you make a friend of solitude and silence, you know, as a practice. Some people can't stand solitude, you know? And I could understand why, because your mind kind of races within itself and all these things, and it happens to me. But at the same time, you have to have that ability to find that solitude and that silence. You know, you don't have to be juggling 15 plates and jumping through hoops and, you know, exercising and cooking dinner at the same time to be fulfilled, you know, or to stay busy or be productive. I mean, you need times of solitude and silence so that you have that contrast of life, you know. So solitude and silence, people got to understand how, especially that, both, really both, solitude and silence. And then here it says, over-sharpen the blade and the edge will soon blunt. That's from the Tao Te Ching. I forget what number that is. That's verse 9 of the Tao Te Ching. And it says, better stop short than fill to the brim. Over-sharpen a blade and it will soon blunt. If I have to explain that, then I don't think you would ever get it. It's crazy, but that's the way that was, either you get it or you don't get it. Like, if you over-sharpen a blade, it's easier for it to get blunted because it's over-sharpened. And better stop short than fill to the brim. I mean, well, that's pretty deep. So I've gone on now for an hour. And give me some support there. Put some comments in there. Watch it. I'm going to see if I guess I'll put a link from my Telegram to this. I do want to thank you for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. And give me feedback on my presentation.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative.
I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. And let's get into it. My link tree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my link tree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamaleBuddhist.podbean.com.